Amen. Amen. That's beautiful, beautiful playing, wasn't it? Amen. I appreciate that this morning, and so good to see all of you, even the Duke fans back there. I just saw one. Bless your heart. I'm glad you're here. You're in the right place, brother. It's good to see you. It's good to see everybody, and it's fun to pick around sometimes. It's good to see you smile, and I'm just so thankful to be here. I'm thankful for this number. I know we have several that are out sick and what have you, but I'm so thankful that you're here this morning, and I'm trying to think. I don't know if I have really too many announcements. I'll probably talk a little bit more maybe after the service to confirm some things, but Lord willing, and we'll talk a little bit about it further, but Lord willing, hope to have maybe our baptism on March 2nd, Sunday, March 2nd, a month from today, Brother Norman, is kind of, if all goes well, and I'm going to talk to everyone else, the candidates and what have you, but that's kind of what we're looking at there. And so just excited about that. I'm trying to think if I had anything else to announce. Did I have anything else, Brandy? I don't think so. Don't believe I did. Just so excited to be here. What I'll do, let's go ahead and be turning to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. I want to say, too, I want to invite you to come and be with us during our Sunday school time while you're turning there. And Brother Mike's doing a biblical study, what the Bible has to say about money, and that is, we started that today, and that was very, very good and informative, and I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of those classes come together. Thankful for that. So much to learn in God's Word about everything. It'll guide us in all aspects of our life if we'll let it. That's a beautiful thing. If you remember last week, we were talking about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and his conversion. And I, as kind of studying this, I thought it was interesting. Didn't plan on it originally, but it's just too good to pass up when you see kind of how these line up together. Different conversions, three different people. And actually the Lord is using three different men to take the word to these people or to witness or testify to these people. And I thought that was interesting in and of itself. But also, if you look at the people that were sent last week, it was Philip. This week, it's Ananias. And Lord willing, if we do this next week, you'll see that it was Peter that was used. And in the book of Acts, it's a transitional time. This is after the age of the law, and it's going into the age of grace, and the age after the day of Pentecost of having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot going on. This is, in my mind, how I categorize Acts is kind of like the Wild West of the Bible. That's when things are kind of changing and taking shape and becoming more of the civilization that we see today. Kind of what we see it today. But I thought this was interesting too. The Ethiopian eunuch was a descendant of Ham. Saul, that you'll see today, he's a descendant of Shem. And then next week, Lord willing, Cornelius, he was a descendant of Japheth, and that's, or Japheth, that's the children of Noah. You think about the three there. You see how the gospel was preserved and how it was sent out to generation to generation. I hadn't seen that before and thought that was kind of interesting. And when you really look at the Bible, if you study it and maybe not know some things or what have you, or hadn't learned some things yet like me, learning things every day, you don't see how systematic that God really is. He does everything for a purpose. And it's amazing how He does that. And likewise, He does everything for a purpose in mine and your life also. I say this a lot, but the truth still stands. The very fact that you're here today is not just by happenstance. It's on purpose. God did it on purpose. You'll see some things today in Saul's life that was on purpose. Saul didn't see it coming, you know, and that's what I think is kind of interesting. You know, people think maybe I'll accept Christ when it's convenient for me, or some people put it off until they put it off so long they don't even think about it anymore, and maybe the Lord doesn't even deal with them anymore if they've pushed them away so far. You know, there's a line there, and I'd hate to see where that line is at. But you see, last week you had such a tender-hearted person. He was seeking out the truth. He wanted to find truth. He wanted to know more about God, and he was reading God's Word, and he wanted to know who this person was. Who is this man talking about? Who is this man Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about some other man? And that's when Philip said, "Let me preach to you about Jesus." And he told him who he was talking about. And it's amazing how the Lord will align our lives and I guess maybe make us curious enough that we want to know more. You know, conviction, I know, is a hard thing to deal with. I've been under conviction. I know that's hard to deal with, but that is the method, the form that God uses to guide you and me. You think about this. You think about this. A child that is born and just goes down a path and has no rearing left to the right, they're just going straight down a path, are they not? And without some kind of outside interference, if you will. And you know, I've thought about this also. I've thought about this. You think about the beautiful option of adoption and how powerful that is. You know, you can take a child not even knowing what their father and mother, maybe the characteristics that they have, but a loving home can take that child in and teach that child and maybe take them off a path that they would have been going on. Isn't that something? You know what happens when you are adopted into the family of God? That's exactly what He does for you and me. We're kind of headed down a path along our way, or maybe a misguided path could be, but when God gives you a path and He gives you a purpose, it's amazing what you have in your life and what you can see. Having a purpose is everything. But you see here, I want us to see this morning, Acts chapter number 9. Look maybe quickly, Lord willing, at about the 18 verses here, but it talks about the conversion of Saul, and it's probably one of the most famous conversions that you talk about. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, the topic of conversion. I tell you, there's a lot to that. I know a lot of people who've accepted Christ, but maybe they don't know their purpose. Maybe they don't know what the Lord would have them to do. And it's one thing to accept Christ, but it's another thing to have your mindset converted for His use. There's something to be said there. I think you'll see that in the message this morning, whereas last week you saw just simply how a person wanted to accept Christ and he found Christ. Philip there, he was preached to him Christ. He accepted Christ and he followed the Lord in baptism. And you'll see this morning there's a little bit more to this. Now, salvation is exactly the same. Saul got saved the same way that the eunuch got saved, and the same way that Cornelius got saved. And if you're saved this morning, the same way you got saved, by grace through faith. That's how it works. But I want you to see what is added this week when we're talking a little bit about conversion. And you look at a word, the definition of conversion, that means a turning or change from one state to another, a change of heart, or from one side to another. So there's a change taking place. Many television shows depict this. If you watch Flip This House and all these things about vehicles, things about guns and what have you, where they restore old things and make them like new. And I tell you, it's amazing that that is exactly what God can do in your life if you're willing to let Him do it. I think one of the biggest things that plague us is that we know what to do, but yet we don't do it. That's the thing. I could map out plans for weight loss, for business, or what have you. You can have it in black and white. Brother Mike talking about money and what have you. You can map it out, and you can read it, and you can know it. But if you don't do it, it won't change your life. There's that part that you have to take place in if you don't do it. But we're going to see something here. Let's read here, and we'll get started. I'll read a couple of verses, and we'll get started this morning. Acts chapter 9 verse 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for another opportunity that you've given to us to be here together today. Lord, that's a blessing and it's nothing to take for granted. We know we could be in many different places, Lord. I know so many in the church have been sick and still on the mend from surgeries and different things, Lord. And God, I pray for them this morning. I pray that you help them. God, be with them. All the things that people are facing physically, God, I just pray that you be with them this morning and help them and comfort them, God. Those listening in, Lord, we're praying for them this morning.
God, I just pray that you guide me today. Guide my mind, guide my heart and my mouth, God, and help me to stay focused, Lord, on what you'd have me to say, exactly how you'd have me to say it, Lord. There's people here today, myself included, Lord, we need more of you, God. Lord, there's people here today that are lost, God. They need to see the saving grace of Jesus Christ, how this works, God. They need to see that, and truly in its simplicity, Lord. We see these different examples of testimonies that's given in the Word of God and how it takes place, Lord. But God, I just pray, Lord, that you help me to preach it, to teach it plainly, clearly, God, that all can understand, all hearers can understand. Be with us here today. Be with our church, Lord. We just thank you so much for them. We love our church. Love those who attend from week to week and are with us, God. We just appreciate them so much. And just thank you for all the wonderful things that you've done in my life and still doing, God. We're giving you all the praise and all the glory, all the honor for everything you do, Lord God. For it's in your name that we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So we see here, Paul's a pretty bad fella. And I think if Paul, we'll just go ahead and call him Saul, give a little background here. You know, he's a pretty bad fella. He was very legalistic. He was all into the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and what have you. As far as the Jewish law, he was absolutely dedicated to the Jewish law. So when people kind came along and they started preaching this about Jesus, he did not have any part of that. He didn't want that. You see, Saul was very zealous, a very zealous person. That means he was all in what he was going to do. That he's all in. He didn't have a wavering of heart or anything like that, right or wrong, which he thought he was right. He was all in. And I think that's a wonderful thing to be, but before you get all in, you need to make sure you're going in the right direction first. If you're all in and you're going the wrong direction, you're going to have adverse problems, things that you don't want to have. But you see what he's doing here? He had heard the preaching of Stephen. He heard the word. You say, well, how in the world did God get a hold of him if he hadn't heard the word? Let me tell you something. Saul had heard the word. If you remember last week, we were talking, preaching on this, that this is how it works, that the Spirit of God guides the man of God with the Word of God. And you had Stephen preaching his first message, and he's preaching it to his brethren, the Jewish people. He was preaching to them. You know how hard that probably was for him to do? He's preaching something that he knew was controversial to them, that they might not believe, and that enough that it might even lead to his death. But he's brave enough to do it because that's what God called him to do, and it's the truth. It's one thing to preach to a congregation this morning that wants to hear the Word of God and maybe somewhat receptive to the Word of God, but it's different if you're out there in a group of people that don't want to hear it. Say, I don't believe that. I don't want to hear it. And you see, that's where Saul was at. Saul heard what he had been preaching, and he was consenting unto Stephen's death. They stoned Stephen to death, preached one message to an entire nation, and it got him killed. But you see, it was all worth it. Saul, you think about how he had heard that, and he was still breathing out threatenings and slaughter after this had taken place, and he had breathing this out, and he went to the synagogues, the high priest, and he said, I want letters, I want warrants. I want warrants to take out these people who are talking about this Jesus. We want to take them out. He had this convert or die mentality. They're standing against my God and the way his thought process was, and I'm not going to have that, and I'm so willing to stand for my God, my belief, that I'm willing to take these people bound, and guess what, even lead them to death if that's what it takes, because they don't believe the way I believe. See, here's a stark contrast in the way it was. Again, I say the Wild West, it was a different time. Aren't you thankful that we live in the age of grace where you can come in freely and listen to the Word of God and make a choice for yourself if you're going to follow Him or not? I tell you, times will get harder as the days go on, and you think about the tribulation period to come, it's going to be a harder time. But you see what you have here. You have Saul. He's on his way to Damascus to try to take Christians back bound to Jerusalem, take them before the high priest. And you know what kind of chance of a fair court are they going to have? They're going to say, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Kill him. Kill him. That's how his mentality was. And it even said here, it said men or women. He didn't care. He was taking everybody. It was a merciless situation. He was taking everybody. But you know, as he is on the way to capture people, something happened to him. I read this and I read it a few times, and on his way to capture people, he got captured himself. Isn't that something? And he didn't see it coming. He didn't see it happening. And I thought, man, is that not something that somebody, that the Lord can grab a hold of somebody, get somebody's attention in that way? Somebody that is absolute at enmity with God, with Jesus, he can grab their attention so much, he can stop them on a dime. He can do that to you and me. I think sometimes maybe if we hadn't experienced much, we don't think that the Lord maybe has that authority or ability to capture our hearts, but he can. He can stop you on a dime. He can put you in a place that you're just like, I have nowhere to look but up. And I know on the face of it, that sounds scary, but if you find yourself in that place, I want to tell you, it's a place of God's mercy. He's wanting to get your attention for a reason. Again, God does everything for a reason. He doesn't do things just by happenstance or anything like that. He does it by a reason. And we see here in verses 3 through 6, and it says, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. Talk about the Damascus Road. You've heard that probably many times. Maybe you have. You look at the word Damascus. I looked it up to see what it meant, to see if there might have any kind of leaning into what it means, any bearing on the message this morning. But it also says that it means, Damascus means the beginning of salvation. The beginning of salvation. I don't think Paul probably maybe saw it that way, but he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled. He trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. But I want you to see this morning, the first thing here, that the Lord got his attention. The Lord got his attention. And he can do that in any way he wants to. See, he knows how you're built. He knows how I'm built. He knows how my mind works, what I think about, and how he wants to get my attention. He knows how to do that. He knows how to do that with you this morning. One of the first things that you'll find if the Lord is dealing with you and you've come to a place that you realize that you're lost, he's going to get your attention because he wants to turn you back to him. He gets your attention. And you see what happens here? This bright light shined round about Saul, and that caught his attention. A light bright enough will blind you. You can't see anything else. Just that light. And you know what it says, the Word of God says about God and in light with him, there is no variance. He is just all light. When he shines round about you, he's going to get your attention. And I want to tell you this, there's no better place to be than in the presence of the Lord if you're seeking after him. I tell you, if you're trying to run from him, if you're not trying to be obedient to him, if you're not being repentant to him, that's without a doubt the scariest place you can be. But you see, conviction is very strong that way. You see a few things here that I thought was kind of interesting. You know, I being in law enforcement, there's times we've done death notifications or had to talk to people about some serious things in life. And maybe you've seen it too. And you give somebody some bad news or something. Have you ever seen somebody just fall to the floor? They've heard something that scared them so bad. Now you think about this, just a couple of verses before this, Saul was breathing out threatenings. He's on the way to capture people. He's going to law these people. That's what he's going to do. And he's wound up and he's ready to do this. And guess what? The Lord struck him to the ground like that. I mean, he was on. You see somebody get hyped up for something, they're ready to go in for it, and all of a sudden they're on the ground. See, God has the power and the ability to do that. And that's what happens. You see how the Lord, I thought about my conversion. I thought about how it was when I got saved, and I remember the Lord getting my attention. You say, was it that dramatic? It was that dramatic to me. You see what I'm saying? We've talked about this, and people talk about how miraculous this is or what have you, but I'm telling you, if the Lord's dealing with your heart, it's that miraculous for you. It's that big for you. There's no, I remember Brother James, he and I talking about this years ago. I gave him a testimony and I said, I felt like it's a little testimony. He said, don't you ever feel that way. There's no little testimony. They're not little.
When God can take an unregenerate person, save their soul, and convert them into use, there's nothing small about that. That's amazing that God can do that. Take this flesh and this body and do something positive with it, because you and I can't. Only thing you and I can do is surrender and submit. But you see here, Paul, unlike the Ethiopian eunuch, he wasn't seeking after God. He wasn't in a chariot reading. What does this mean? What does this mean? He was on the way to capture people. He was on the way to capture Christians. I'm against what they're doing. I'm going to take them out. And he's on his way. Do you think he had anything in his mind like this? I thought about this morning, church. You know, I don't know, but I know he had heard the message from Stephen. You know, maybe on this road, maybe he had those papers in his hand. He was going to serve those papers and do those things, but maybe in the back of his mind, he was thinking about Stephen and Stephen preaching the Word of God and preaching about repentance and salvation under the name of Jesus Christ. And maybe in the back of his mind, he was saying this man is willing to die for this. Maybe there's a little bit to it. Maybe. He was still on his mission, what he was going to do, but he heard it. There's something about somebody being willing to stand for something so much that they're willing to die for it and not recant it. I think that probably caught Saul's attention. You know how he is, how zealous he is or was, and how he was. I'll say was, that's past tense, because the Lord changed him. But he says here, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" You know, you might be here this morning, maybe facing conviction or what have you, but you know the Lord is dealing with your heart. If he is, if you're under conviction, he's dealing with your heart. He's saying, why won't you trust me? Why won't you trust me? Why don't you listen to me? Why don't you come to me? Why don't you accept me? Why don't you accept my son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you? You see, there's that gentle wooing that takes place. Now, Saul's a little bit different. Saul, he was rebellious. He was on another path. You see, he wasn't consenting into what the Word of God said. He was actually standing against it. In ignorance, later on, you'll hear in his own testimony that he said, I did these things out of ignorance. But Jesus was talking to him. When you're under conviction and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, that's the Holy Spirit of God dealing with you. You know how big that is? I just want to tell you something. We're coming out of the election cycle or season and all this kind of stuff, you know, and the president's been going everywhere, and I think people have an opportunity to go see the president or whatever, shake his hand, all this and all that. Different people maybe that you like, but I want to tell you something. Every single bit of that pales in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ knocking on your heart saying, won't you trust me? You think about that. The creator of everything finding you, seeking you out, because none seeketh after him, finding you, finding your heart, and gently knocking on your heart's door. Isn't that amazing? God knows who you are. And he wants you. He wants you to accept him. I think here with Saul, you see kind of how he was and he knew. Jesus knew that he was in direct opposition of him. Verse number 5, and it says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? He kind of knew who he was. You know, I want to tell you this, church. I'm telling you. When the Lord was dealing with me, when I was lost, I didn't have to ask who he was. Who is this knocking on my heart? I didn't have to ask him. I knew who he was. And you know what? I knew what he wanted. He wasn't here to ask for some sugar, bar some butter. He said, I want your heart. I want your heart. You see, it's never been of any kind of hidden thing or secret. I knew who he was and I knew what he wanted. But I had the choice to accept him or not. That's the decision that every single one of us have to make. You'll find with me, I will never try to talk you in to what you say you have, and I'll never try to talk you out of what you say you have. I won't do that. That's not my place. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. See, that's what is going on right here with Saul and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's a one-on-one business that you have to do with him. You don't do that through a priest or a preacher or something like that. You do that straight with the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to see that. See the importance of that.
And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, and the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What does that mean? I had to look some of these words up. I'd heard it before. I'd heard messages preached on this. I don't try to recreate and relive messages. I try to let the Lord speak to me one-on-one because he knows what it's going to take to reach your heart. And that's what I pray for. Lord, you know who's going to be here today. You know exactly how it needs to be proclaimed and given. Lord, you take care of that. You do that. But if you think about what a prick is, it's like a goad. G-O-A-D is another word for it, but it's a sharp instrument used to guide animals. And I've kind of seen it a little bit. I think of where my mind went growing up in Bethel. I remember Bill Sherwood with his cattle. He had to take them across the road to milk them. He had a field on one side, and he would take them to his dairy barn on the other side. And if you're running late for work, you're just stuck because you're going to have to wait a little bit longer because it takes a while for them cattle to get across. You just have to wait. And you probably want to wash your car on the other side. You probably want to do that. But I remember Bill. I remember him walking out there. Sometimes James would be out there and he'd have a stick and he'd walk around. Every now and then one of the cows would kind of veer off a little bit. And he'd tap them on the side. He'd tap them on the hip and they'd get back in line. So that's what that is. That's what a goad is. It's a sharp instrument. And that's used to guide people. And you know, that is exactly what conviction is like to me. It's a sharp instrument. It's what the Lord uses. When you're sitting there and your heart's pounding out of your chest and the Lord is saying, what are you going to do? Are you going to do business with me? Are you going to trust me? That feels awful sharp on the heart, does it not? See, again, we talked about this last week, I believe, why God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. That's the power unto them unto salvation. To them, to the people who don't believe, it's foolishness. If you believe today and you recount the day you got saved and you think about the preaching you heard, that's the power of salvation. That's powerful to you. You see, that's what was going on here in his life. He's saying it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I read and I thought about this too. I remember in school they were talking about this too, about what the word preach means. Preach means to stab or to thrust. I thought, man, there's too much in this to pass this up. You think about it this morning. So, preacher, what are you trying to do? You know, you've heard it said this before. Boy, you really stepped on my toes this morning. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm trying to pierce your heart. Secret is, there is no secret. But what it says here in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful. And look at this word. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, that's in and of itself a description of what conviction is like. You take the Word of God, you take the Gospel, where Jesus was born of a virgin, he came to this earth, he lived a sinless life. He lived that sinless life because he's all God, he's all man, and he tamed the flesh, the only one that could do it. So why did he do that? What's the importance of taming this wicked flesh if nobody else can do it? What's the importance? Because he tamed it, and he took it to a cross to die for our sins. Isn't that something? He became a substitute for you and I. You and I were supposed to be on that cross. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's who went to the cross for you and me. Isn't that something? See, that's the importance of the gospel. That's the importance of what he's saying here. And in conviction, that's what the Lord is asking and what he's doing. He's trying to guide you to say, do you believe this or not? See, when you take that into your heart, you have to do something with it. You can't just simply walk away from it. You're denying Christ if you walk away from it. And you see, that's what he was telling Paul here, Saul here. He was saying, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That's why when our minds are weighing these things out, we start realizing what the Word of God says about the wages of sin being death, but there is a gift of God of salvation through his Son Jesus Christ. If we accept him, we can have eternal life. That's the best thing going. That's your only hope. That's my only hope. You see, that's what's being offered out here. And you see how he is standing against it. But now, what I want you to see, he fell to the earth. And as he's standing up, verse number 6, look what it says here. And he said, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, and rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So that's a first sign of Paul being willing to listen to what Jesus Christ had to tell him to do. What he's asking you to do. You know, simply this morning, if you're lost, the simple thing he's asking you to do is to accept it. It's that simple. But not only just for the lost this morning, I want to say this to those of you that are saved. You know, this thing about being converted is a bigger topic. I know saved people who are not living for the Lord. Don't you? Amen. And you might be honest, you might say to yourself, you know what? I'm one of those people. I know I'm saved, but you know I'm not. I know I'm not in the will of God where I'm supposed to be. That's the importance of conversion. That's when a person becomes sold out for God. And they start surrendering their thoughts, their ideals, and they go with what God has to say. And you see, that is where God was getting Saul at this point. He said, I'll tell you what, you stand up. He knocked him down. You stand up and you do what I tell you. You know what he said? I'll do that. He was willing to do that. You're going to see another side of this. This is such a fruitful message, such an abundance of scripture that's being talked about here. In verses 7 through 9, and it says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. There's people that witnessed this. I thought about it like this too, church. There's times I remember when you can feel the Lord moving, the Holy Spirit moving on a service. It might be one that accepts him, but I want to tell you this, it affects the people around them though also. That's how the Holy Spirit is. He comes in like the wind. You don't know where he come from or where he's going, but it says here, these men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. They heard, they had seen him. It's like, what is going on here? What is going on? If you've been around church long enough and you see conviction long enough, you can feel it on somebody. You can see it on somebody. You can see the power of it. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. See, you see here, he didn't get up with sight just yet. He opened his eyes. He saw no man, is what it said, but hadn't fully received his sight. I thought that was interesting. Thought that was very interesting. See, his process was not yet completed as he was going. Now, you see this here. This is on the one side of things. You see how the Lord himself was dealing with Saul. But remember one of the things I said? The Word of God, or the Spirit of God, God's the man of God. By the Word of God, you're going to see the human element here. And that's what's interesting here about Ananias, verses number 10 through 16. And so there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. He thought he was ready for his next mission. I think about him often. You look at his name and it means protected by Jehovah, or it means gift of the Lord. So the Lord allows us as Christians to take part in the conversion process, the human element of a conversion process. The man named Ananias and said to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. He's probably waiting on this. He's like, the Lord's going to use me. I've been wanting the Lord to use me, and I bet he wants me maybe to do Wednesday night service or something. I've been studying a little bit. Maybe he wants me to do Wednesday night. Brother Nathan, maybe he wants me to lead the choir in a song. And Lord, I'll be glad to do that. Been wanting to do something. Been wanting to do something for you. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. See, that's how it works. When a person begins to pray for God to help them and show them, God always sends help. Always. He'll never leave you lacking. He'll never leave you wanting. He'll either get you to the place or get somebody to you. We saw that with the eunuch also. And you have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. He needed to see. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints in Jerusalem. He said, Lord, I've heard of this one. Don't you have another mission? What about my Wednesday night service I've been studying for? No,
I don't need you to do that. I need you to do something else. Isn't it amazing? I want you to see this. Ananias, I don't know if he'd ever preached. I don't know if he'd ever witnessed anybody before or done anything like that. But I want you to know that it's the power of the Word of God, not the power of the person. You can see that right here. It wasn't Ananias. It's just how God chose to do it. Isn't it a blessing when God chooses you to do something for Him? But I want you to know this. He don't just use any old vessel. He uses converted vessels. You'll see that. It's very clear. Very clear in what He does. Verse 14, He says, "And here He hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on Thy name." If I go to Him, He's going to put me in jail. He knows I'm a believer. This is a setup. What are we doing here? What are we doing, Lord? You ever ask the Lord to give you something to do, and the Lord give you something to do, and then you try to talk Him out of it? That just don't make any sense, does it? When the Lord gives you something to do as a Christian, it's for you to do. That's your purpose. God gives us all purposes. That's how He works. And it's amazing and it's wonderful that He's doing things like that. But look at what the Lord says to Ananias. No pressure here, Ananias. It says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way." Listen to me, Ananias. "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." I have chose him to do a certain thing, and I'm asking you, I'm requesting you, I'm using conviction to tell you this is what your mission is. This is what you are to do. "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear thy name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." He's supposed to, this man is going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. The very fact we're here this morning talking about it shows you that it actually happened and worked. To the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, "for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." You think about the weight that was. You think about, now you back up and you think about where Saul came from. Having just left the stoning of Stephen, found his way to the Damascus Road here, being struck down by the Lord, and now Ananias coming to him to lay hands on him. That's the way it was. Again, this was a transitional period. I want you to know that and understand that this morning. "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake." All the things he's going to do, this is to get the gospel out. Just like was read this morning, Brother Tim read this morning, he's standing before King Agrippa. You imagine a place like this, even just like this. And you bring somebody in fetters and chains down, and people would bring him in. They would bring him before them just to hear the gospel. Most of them didn't accept it. But him bound in chains, they were still interested and marveled at what he had to say. Maybe some of them just made fun of him and thought, "Hey, let's just make fun of this man, bring him in and embarrass him." But he preached the gospel every single time. In prison, in chains, tied down like that. Boy, I tell you, he suffered some things for the cause of Christ, didn't he? But look what was gained out of his life. Again, it was all the Lord. What the Lord did, you might think sometimes that what you're doing is insignificant, but there is no insignificant testimonies, and there is no insignificant missions that the Lord gives you and places in your life. You might just be one little dot on the page of many dots, but when you see it come together, you're like, "The Lord used me." That's a blessing. It's amazing if you want to be used by Him. You see how this comes on here. I'll hurry along this morning, but he will show him this was the purpose. He was explaining to Ananias the gravity of what he was doing. In verses 17 through 18, I'll close here in just a minute. It said, "Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul," I want you to know something. Saul had already accepted Christ. There wasn't a waiting period. Saul accepted Christ on the Damascus Road. He was already his brother in Christ. He had already believed. I think there's an extra step that was added here for him to gain his sight back, what have you, the laying on of hands. And if you look back at this right here, this was just soon after the day of Pentecost, which changed things when you had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Such a powerful thing to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus,
called him by name. He's like, Saul's putting this thing together. I was praying. I saw in a vision. And Jesus sent Ananias. He's seeing this come together. This is his first time seeing things come together this way. Remember, he was on the other team. He was on the other side. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto thee in the way, is what they call it, as thou camest that sent me, and thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. There was no question he'd already believed. You remember Philip asked that question of the eunuch, if thou believest thou mayest. We'd already passed that here with Saul, but you see how this come together. I want to say this. I think one of the first things that Saul said is, I can see. I can see. I thought about it this morning, church. People ask you, what does it feel like to be saved? We, as humans, we deal with things emotionally or feelings and what have you. And I tried to think back at what it was like for me. And I remember it felt like a weight had been lifted off. But the one thing I remember so clearly, I can see. I can see. Felt like I went to church that night maybe with sunglasses on or something. Everything was a little obscured. But after that night, when I got up and asked the Lord to save me, I could see. That's the most important thing. What did Paul say here? What did he say? He could see. The scales have been lifted off his eyes. That's one of the things I want you to see this morning. If you accept Christ, that's one thing that you can say. I've heard people say, how can I know? How can I know? Heard it said this way also. How could something that big move into your heart and you not know it? I'll tell you this. If you can ever see, you will know what it's like to have spiritual sight. You'll know. You'll know. It's not about things, a certain thing that's said. It's not about copying a prayer that somebody tells you to say or anything like that. It's you giving your heart in faith to Jesus Christ. That's how it works. That's how simple it is. Believing in the gospel. Believing in the gospel. That's how it works. That's the importance of it. I believe here again, conversion, a turning or a change from one state to another, change of heart from one side to another. What was taking place here, and I don't know how much Saul maybe recognized at this, but I believe the Lord is already working in his heart where he had been in direct opposition. He is now following the same path that these Christians in the way were going. Isn't that powerful? See, sometimes people will say, well, I've been to this, I've been to that. The Lord can't save me. If I stepped in the church would catch fire. No, God's more powerful than that. He's way more powerful than that. The blood of Jesus Christ is way more powerful than that because it paid for all the sins. All the sins of the earth, all the sins of the world, it paid for that price. But I want you to see the power of Jesus Christ this morning, the power of salvation. If you will, stand with me. I'll ask Sister Alice, if you will, to come to the piano. Stand with me this morning. Maybe the Lord's dealing with your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost and you just simply want to accept Jesus Christ. You can do that.